Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 21st of July. I'm Paul White. I think we've spent enough time in these last several days over these last few verses of the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. Today, my goal is to close out that fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, at least in regards to our journey through it. Let's read beginning in verse 17 about that Timothy passage and then down into something that I want to sort of put a bow on this chapter by jumping ahead to show you something Paul says a little later. I think we'll try to help explain a little bit of what is going on. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 4, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere and every church." There's Paul's phrase, "everywhere and every church." Sort of counters the argument that some give that there was one church in the Bible, and that the early church fathers wouldn't talk about churches. I've heard that argument. You know, we say church. What church do you go to? But really, there was only one church. The early church wouldn't understand our insistence of what church do you go to. And well, I don't think so. Paul says, "As I teach everywhere in every church." Now, there. Definition and understanding of that, I think, was a little different than ours. We're talking about the church as a collective, the entire body of Christ. Paul tends to talk about it as the body of Christ. But what Paul is saying is that there are pockets of meetings. The churches meet, the church. So in every church, 18, "Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you." That's the word arrogant. "But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power." And so some are living in a way in which they don't think there will ever be any instruction that comes their way. This is a church relatively void of walking in the Spirit. They're struggling. I don't mean they don't, let me rephrase that. I don't mean they can't walk in the Spirit. I mean they don't look like they are. They don't appear to be following the dictates of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul has had to is laying out the beginnings of almost a veiled threat. Like, you're arrogant, you don't think I'm going to come and talk to you. If God wills, I'll be there. By the way, they viewed whatever they ended up doing as being the will of God. It seems to be. So Paul's like, if the Lord wills, I'll be there. If he doesn't will, I won't be there. That's how we'll end up figuring this out. "I'm going to know not the word of those who are puffed up, but I'm going to know the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Now, this is a phrase that gets taken out of context and used as its own thought, as in the kingdom isn't words but power. I don't think that's entirely Paul's intention. He's not saying this as a standalone phrase. He doesn't say, hey, here's some descriptions of the kingdom. The kingdom isn't words but power. No, there's certainly words in the kingdom. But I think contextually, Paul is saying, I'm not so concerned with what you say and how you say it. I'm concerned with the action taken behind what you say. Because the kingdom is not merely made up of statements. It's made up of action. You know, you can say all day long, well, we need to help the poor. We need to help the poor. The kingdom helps the poor. The kingdom would be feeding the poor. But if you're not feeding the poor, then it's words. It's not power. And so Paul is giving us beginnings of a rebuke, that I'm hearing your buzz, I'm hearing your talk, I'm hearing your sectarianism and your arguing and your fussing and your issues, but don't get arrogant. I'm on my way there, God willing, I'll be there. And then it's not going to be about what you say, it's going to be about what you do. What do you want? 21. This is an interesting phrase. Watch how this chapter ends, and this is where we'll look forward for a moment. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Great question. Why would he even have to ask it? And doesn't it seem unusual in light of, you know, church today? It does. Why does he need to ask it? Well, he's got some issues. And what do you guys want? Do you want me to come to you with a rod? What do you do with a rod? You steer? You don't beat to death. I think that's something I had to grow out of, this idea that the rod is to beat people to death. The rod defends the sheep from wolves, yes, but just as much, the rod gently taps them back onto the trail. It doesn't smack them and break their leg and wound them, but it keeps them in line. So do I come with a rod? Do I come as a shepherd needing to guide you back onto the path? But there's something harsh in the rod, because look at the contrast. Do I come with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? He doesn't mock love. He doesn't mock a spirit of gentleness. He says, sometimes you have to come with the rod. You want to come with love and gentleness, but sometimes you got to come with the rod. And I don't think he means the rod is hate. He's not giving one is love and the other is not. He seems to couple love and the spirit of gentleness in 21. There's some things about this that I think are interesting if you look into the next letter. Now, that's way up there, but look at 2 Corinthians. Look at the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Now, remember, this is the second letter, maybe even the third letter. Posterity may not have saved one of the Corinthian letters, but this is the second letter to Corinth. Now, I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So Paul says, look, when I'm there with you, I'm lowly. When I'm away, I'm bold. I don't want it to be the other way around. And I kind of get this from Paul through these writings, that Paul was pretty harsh sometimes with the way he wrote. He was a little meek in the presence. And he wants to keep it that way. Look at how he ends 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13, 7 through 10. I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what's honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against truth, but for truth. We're glad when we're weak and you're strong. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification, not for destruction. Maturity knows the difference, by the way, in sharpness and authority, that they can edify or they can destroy. Paul knows he's sharp. He knows he has authority. He can use that to build people up, or he can use that to knock people down. And you can tell by his heart he wants to build people up, but he knows he can come and knock people down. And so it's to me, it's quite interesting then how Paul ends that fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. The kingdom of God is not just in words, it's in doing. And when I get there, I want to come in gentleness, but I might have to come with the rod. And let me just close by asking you, what does that mean for us today? What implication does that give for us today? That sometimes we should get to the end of the discussion or the end of the message and feel like we got a little smack. That's okay. That's not smack to be righteous. But maybe we say, you get back in line. There's some areas of your life where you need to take correction and reproof and rebuke and move forward. It's not always about getting to the end and feeling good. It's about getting to the end and feeling as if you've been confronted with the reality of who you are in Christ and what you should be doing with that. That seems to be beneficial. We start the fifth chapter tomorrow. See you then. God bless.